Amen. I can't think of a wrong time to sing that song. Love that song. Several of the songs. Good choices today. Enjoyed them. Oh, to be like Jesus. Good singing this evening. Please, and turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 tonight. It's interesting you pray about, I pray about what to preach on and pray that the Lord guides it. And then there's confirmation from time to time. Very clear confirmation. These past few weeks, there's been a number of folks that I've come into contact with dealing with difficult information, difficult news from the doctor, going through trials. And, you know, how is it that we as believers should respond? Well, this passage here, Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 2. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." If we want to fulfill the law of Christ, do what Christ told us to do, do what He did, we're commanded to help bear the burdens of one another within the body of Christ. The Christian faith, churches, are known for a lot of things. Would to God that we would be known for how we take care of one another, that we love one another. Jesus said in 1 John, "They will know you are, you know, my disciples by your love." You know, as a Bible-believing pastor, I believe that the Bible is the source of the answers for these difficult situations. We encounter people in need of help, encouragement, dealing with trials, life-threatening issues, bad news, as I said. And I think the Word of God really has much. This is not just one type. I'm not just talking about people who have dealt with loss, but people who are going through issues in the world around us. And whether it be the friends that we're thinking of, whether it be somebody who's dealing with the loss of a job or dealing with a financial struggle, the sorrow that comes with the loss of a friend or loved one, maybe a son or daughter that they're is away from the Lord or away from them, just tension in a family or in a marriage or anything. Those are the things that this world goes through. And I think those are the types of things that we need to think of, bearing the burdens of one another. Well, if that is the case, and you know that's the case, then you also know that we most of the time feel inadequate to help others, don't we? People that are dealing with big issues, we're inadequate. Now, maybe you feel differently, but I'll be the first to say, God has called me to the ministry. I'm a pastor. I love what I do. I love you as a church. But can I say, I talk to people and their problems intimidate me. We're inadequate in our humanity. We really are. And I believe the Word of God is the source of answers. Meditating on scriptures that has counsel in these areas can help us. And so I want to just for a few minutes think about three different aspects of helping comfort the afflicted. I think we need to have God's advice, God's Word, and God's help if we're going to help others through their trials. I've divided it up this way, and you've heard the three: faith, hope, and love. I think, first of all, faith. Faith is simply taking God at His word. The foundation of faith is necessary if we're going to make it through any trial. We have to believe in something. And you truly, people do, okay? In fact, look down at verse 3. When we go to help someone else, we need to secure our own faith. Before you can help anyone else, you need to make sure that your faith is secure. It says, "For what a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." We need to make sure our faith is secure, that we have a right perspective of ourselves. Look at verse 1. "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fall, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We deal with seeing maybe somebody's trial that they're going through has a specific type of temptation. Maybe it would manifest itself in pride in our life. We need to make sure our faith is secure, first of all, and I think that's by spending time in God's Word. God's Word is the only blessed tool by God. The word of God says in Isaiah 55:11, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that whitherto I send it. You'll never do wrong by sharing God's word with someone. God will take it beyond you. God's word contains the answers. It's blessed by God and it contains the answers. The words of the mouth come from the heart. And if this is God's word, it comes from God's heart. We need God's word. And we take it in, we should be giving it out to others. Colossians 4 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And as you take God's word in, you bathe yourself in God's word. I believe it definitely prepares you to help minister to other people. As you fill yourself up, you know, you fill up a glass with water, you smack it, what happens? Water comes out. And Christians should be so full of God's word that that's what comes out. Colossians 3 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. So how do we solidify our faith and secure our faith? Spending time in God's word and then spending time in prayer. Before you seek to help somebody else, you need to make sure that you have God's guidance. Now hold your place there in Galatians and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We've used this scripture verse before as it pertains to speaking about our faith. But I also believe it refers to us being able to speak to other people. Spiritually ready, you could say. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, sorry. Look at verse 17. That's not right. 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's the first step. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If you're going to give somebody else hope, if you're going to give somebody else truth and direction and encouragement, you have to sanctify the Lord God in your heart first. Spend time with the Lord in prayer, being prepared spiritually to give that to them. And by the way, when you do this, when you secure your faith, you recognize that no matter how the person responds, if you share the word of God with them, it doesn't threaten your relationship with the Lord. Their lack of response, lack of understanding, maybe they don't. It shouldn't shake your faith. At the end of every conversation, regardless of how they handle the truth, if you've given the truth, you hand it back to God. The scripture says in Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's why I say this. Because sometimes when you seek to minister to other people, it just doesn't seem like it had the effect you wanted it to. But friend, if you've done it with sincerity, if you've prayed about it and God has guided you, whose hands do you leave that in? You leave that in the Lord's hands. And you pray for that individual and you don't give up on that individual, securing your faith. I think, secondly, we secure their faith. If your faith is secured, then you seek to secure their faith, one who is going through trial. If the person you're dealing with is a believer, they have a relationship with God. And so you seek to facilitate that, to bring them back out of wherever they're at and point them back to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have an eternal home. They have the Holy Spirit. They have the Word of God. They have the foundation of faith already. Securing their faith. If they're an unbeliever, there's comfort in the Word of God. But if they're to know the truth, comfort of God, they need to know Him. And so they're fertile foundation for what? You say, well, they don't know the Lord. How can I encourage them? Well, they're a perfect candidate for salvation. I would say that's a tremendous opportunity. God has a desire to draw all people to Himself, and sometimes He does it through tragedy. Now, I'm not saying that we should wish anything, that we don't celebrate things like that, but sometimes a hard heart requires the softening of certain circumstances, and that might be the very fertile time when that person is ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and He brings you into the situation. Be ready for that. Secure your faith, and then pray that God would help you to secure their faith by refocusing it. You know, in the Old Testament, David, he went out fighting. He made some bad choices. He came back to Ziklag. Everybody had been taken captive by the Philistines. His wife, his children, the wives and children of his men, and they talked about stoning him. David was, he was depressed, and it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He reminded himself of the things that were true. The things that are true. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Encourage the person in the Lord. How do you help somebody comforting the afflicted? Encourage them in the Lord. This helps to refocus their faith. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful, that's full of care or worrisome. Somebody who's just occupied, their mind is. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. So how do I avoid that then? This has got me tied up. You've been there before where you something is on your mind to the point you can't think about anything else. It might keep you up at night. That's the way folks are when they're going through trials. That's the way you are when you're carrying around a burden. And helping somebody share their burden means ministering to people that are so preoccupied by this thing in their life. The scripture says not to be that way. Well, how do I avoid that? Well, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I would say a very practical way to do this is when you spend time with them, if they'll let you, just say, can I pray with you? Maybe they're at the point where they're praying. Maybe they're not, but you can pray with them. Go before the Lord with them. If they open up about their grief, fine. If they're able to, fine. If they're not, just talk to the Lord with them. And verse 7 says this, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what they need. That's what you need to be able to help them with. And so you can act as the one who's a mediator. Spend time with them in prayer. Spend time with them talking about good things. Sometimes folks just need to remember that there are still good things in life. Okay? Is there evil in your life throughout the week sometimes? I'm not saying that you're evil. But do you come into contact with that? Is there evil in this world, church? Yeah, absolutely there is. But does that dismiss the good that's in the world around you? No, it does not. And sometimes we can focus on the evil so much that we forget the things that are good. And look down at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Are there true things? Oh, there's just so much deception. There are some things that are true. Remind them of that. Now, you don't have to point your finger at them and teach them a lesson, but you can remind them of some things that are true. Bring up some things that are honest. Bring up some things that are just, that whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The content of our mind affects the state of our mind. It affects our life and our emotions and everything and our health. Our mental health. How do you help somebody? Well, you refocus their faith. Point them back. Bring them, you know, pray with them. And then remind them of some things that are good. As you focus on good things, the peace of God can grant comfort. I think as the believer's mind is drawn to God and the blessings of God, he can enjoy the peace of God. And as we focus on the good things that God does bless us with, it can solidify this peace. Help us with our faith that yes, I can trust God for tomorrow because of what he's done yesterday. God is a good God. Is that true? Yes. Yes, it is. In spite of those things. Sometimes we say God is good when he's blessed us. Okay. But God is good whether he blesses us or not. He's gracious because he blesses us. We experience his grace, but he's a good God. And that's hard to remember when you're going through affliction. But when we remember those things, it can help build our faith. I think secondly is hope. Faith is choosing to trust God's word. And so you solidify that in your heart. You pray for God to give you the right words. You fill yourself and saturate yourself with the word of God so that throughout the conversation, the Holy Spirit can use his word in your speech and be an encouragement to solidify their faith. But as their faith grows, you know what it brings forth? It brings forth hope. Hope biblically is a settled assurance in the promises of God. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. See, I have faith that God is who he is, who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he will do. And because of that, because I have faith, then the promises of God give me assurance. They give me hope for tomorrow. Hope is built upon faith. In Romans chapter 5, it's interesting. What verse 3 says? It says, not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Oh, really? Yeah, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Tribulation builds in us endurance. When you go through small tribulations, when you go through small trials, it prepares you for larger trials. There are things in your life that you've faced that you would not have been able to face earlier in life because you didn't have the stamina. You didn't have the endurance. But the Lord allows us to grow in our endurance so that we're able to make it through these things in our life. And as that patience is built, it brings experience. How so? Well, every trial that the Lord brings me through, I can look back and I can say, God brought me through that. I see what He did. I saw how that He blessed. I saw how that He answered prayer. I remember how that God's Word was right there. I have that experience. And experience, you know what it does? It brings hope. Because I say, God was faithful to me yesterday, He'll be faithful to me tomorrow. It's hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, it's kind of difficult to differentiate. Faith produces obedience. Hope gives endurance to this. I don't just do it one time. I can continue to do it. I can continue to press on. I can continue to make it through this trial, even if it lasts a while, because I have hope for tomorrow based on what God did yesterday. Think of these promises that we can know are true, that can give us hope. Regardless of what your friend is going through, regardless of what you are going through, regardless of what someone is going through, these things are true. Now, they don't always feel true, but they are true. One is this. You're there in Romans. Look over at chapter 8. You know this one. We claim it, but remember it. God is working towards a good outcome. He's making you like Jesus Christ. Is God making you like Jesus Christ, Christian?
Yes.
How many things does He use in your life to make you like Jesus Christ? All things. You got it. That's the right answer. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That scripture does not say that all things are enjoyable. It does not say that all things are good. But God uses all things to produce good in your life, if we let Him. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He is making us like Jesus Christ. That's the finished product. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We all want to become like Christ. We all want to have spiritual maturity. Trials are the necessary tools that produce spiritual maturity and Christ likeness in the Christian. That's the truth. So suffering is not wasted in the Christian life. It's not wasted. God's doing something in the darkness. And see, I'm not saying necessarily that you use those words when you speak to someone. You need discernment. That's why we pray first. We solidify our faith first. Well, you don't always know how a person is. Everybody's different. And you have to allow for that. But God's doing something in their life, and you can know that. And when the time is right, you can remind them. God hasn't given up on you. Here's another one. The believer's future is secure. If they're a believer, God's got them. Listen to these scripture verses from John. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. On the worst day, I still have a home in heaven. On the worst day, on my worst day on this planet, even my worst behavior, guess what? God has not gotten rid of me. He still loves me. You have to remind yourself. Sometimes you get so low that you forget kind of things like that. The believer's future is secure. Our Savior understands our pain and our struggle. He does. He walked on this earth as a human to do that. Hebrews chapter 4 says, we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. What does that mean? It means that when you're ministering to somebody or if you're speaking to somebody, if you haven't gone through what they're going through, don't say you understand how they feel. Don't say that. Sometimes we want to. But I'll tell you somebody who does understand how they feel. The Lord Jesus Christ. He has experienced the full depth of human suffering, sorrow, separation. He does know. And so we can point them to him. Say, I don't know exactly how you feel. The Lord Jesus Christ does. God knows. He cares. He loves you. Our Savior understands pain and struggle. And he'll never leave us. He says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Many times in the midst of a trial, you know what Satan's greatest tool is? Isolation. He makes us feel like we are the only one going through this. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Not only that, believers who die are with the Lord. The scripture says here in 2 Corinthians, therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we were at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Those are truths that we need to remember. I understand what folks say when they say they lost a loved one. But if they're a believer, you didn't lose them. We know where they're at. We miss them. And sometimes just reframing our words can help. Hope for tomorrow. And the issue of hope is that regardless of the outcome of whatever it is that they're going through, these things are true. No matter what, these promises are true. And you know what? They can give you just enough to go for tomorrow, just enough to make it through the next day. It's imperative that we remind folks about promises that they can hang on to. I would say, though, if somebody's going through a trial, it's imperative that they find a promise that they don't. It's not just you giving them God's promises, that they find a promise that they can go to, they can hang on to. I'd say faith is a very important. Hope is very important. And then love, your motivation. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the kind of love that we should have for others. I was talking with a man. He made a comment when I walked in. He says, look like you got a lot on your mind. And I started to make a joke about needing a haircut, but I didn't. And I mentioned a few things. He knows I'm a pastor. And he made a comment about how, you know, it's good that you do this or good that you do that. Friend, we're all called to bear one another's burdens, to care about one another. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse 13. It says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. That's sacrificial love. That's what that word charity means. It's your motivation and guiding principle. Sacrificial behavior with the good of others in mind. It is for their good. When you get involved, when you minister to others, when you bear the burdens of someone who's afflicted going through a trial, it has to be for their best good and for the glory of God. And our challenge, I'll tell you what my challenge is. The problem is we don't know what to say or how to help. We want to love. We want to care. But our biggest need, you know what our biggest need is? Just to listen. A lot of times it's just to listen. Sometimes there's awkwardness. When somebody's dealing with a trial, the conversations can be awkward. We want to say things. We want to give them advice. A lot of times people don't need advice. They just need you to listen. They need encouragement, yes, but first of all, they probably just need you to listen. Just to be there. Just to hold their hand. Just to love them. Don't try to make them talk. You don't have to focus on the issue to help them deal with the issue. Don't feel like you have to give them advice. It's just availability. It's not wrong for it to be slightly awkward when you love somebody and you're bearing their burden. It's okay. And I've dealt with that. I'm a young preacher. I don't always know the words to say, you know. And I've not said the right words sometimes. And sometimes the fear of saying the wrong words will cause you not to say anything and to stay away from the person. That's the wrong thing to do. our tendency. Go to them with compassion. Be willing to go out of your way. Spend an extra time out of your schedule. Make an extra uncomfortable phone call. Spend a couple of dollars to take them out to eat. Do something kind. When they're going through sorrow or loss or grief or don't know what's, you know, and you're trying to bear their burden, just do the best you can to connect with them. Look over here at chapter 13. Look at verse 4. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. People don't pull through trials as quickly as maybe you think they should sometimes. Sometimes we look at a trial somebody's going through and we're not going through it, and it's tempting for us to say, well, they should just get over it. It's not that big of a deal. Well, you're not going through it. You know, that's been said before that minor surgery is surgery on somebody else. Major surgery is surgery on me. And that's the way trials are, too. Until you're not the one going through it. And we all handle things differently. A load that you might carry easily, somebody else might not be able to. You know, I deal with that frequently when I get home from doing my job, you know, here. And I get home, I have all these things, and my kids rush out. They do it every day. I love it. I love it. I don't know if I tricked them by giving them treats when they come home, and so they just do this. They come out, and they're like, can I carry something for you, Daddy? And inevitably, I'll give them something, and they, you know, they're down to the floor. That wasn't that heavy, you know. Jossie, my little Jossie, came out Friday. She came out to the car. Can I carry something, Daddy? And I really didn't have anything. I said, here, carry my backpack. And I put it on her. She could fit in the backpack. She put it on her shoulders, and it almost touched the ground, you know. It's not a big burden to me, but to her, it was a big thing. And she's, oh. And sometimes when people are bearing burdens, you might have a different estimation of it. But it's not very considerate for you to treat it like that. Charity suffereth long and is kind, it says. Look at verse 5 or verse 4. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Look down at verse 7. How long, Pastor? Well, that's just it. You know, true love allows the person to process at their speed. You can't force someone to go at your speed. Love them enough to let them just process things and just be a friend and bear their burden. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Never faileth. Compassion is being there for them, praying for them. You know, our tendency is to want to heal the wounds quickly. We want an instant get over nowadays. You know, that's why they have all those diet pills and, you know, I could make a bunch of money if I was dishonest. I could, you know, market things on television. Oh, yeah, do this for 2 weeks and do, you know. You see the stuff on TV. Everybody wants instant gratification. And we want to make people stop feeling bad and get through this and, you know, say some magic words and all of a sudden their trial's over. Well, so I got news for you. Some trials don't leave. And sometimes it might be something like the Apostle Paul fought with in 1 Corinthians 12. He had it for the rest of his life, as far as we know. And so just helping them manage, bearing their burden, being there for them. Love them enough to let them be themselves. Don't say things like, well, you know, it could be worse. I know somebody who had blah, blah, blah. Don't do that, okay? Folks don't need that. Sometimes we try to tell them that they just need to be thankful because it could be worse. That's, or God's teaching you a lesson. We want to analyze it right away. Maybe that's not the right way, okay? That could be insensitive. And none of those things are wrong in themselves, but sometimes if we're not careful, we don't let God give us the discernment, and we come off being callous. Let the Lord guide you. Your goal should be to love. Build their faith, refocus their faith, give them hope for tomorrow, speak to them in love, bear one another's burdens, and then don't give up on them. One of the worst results of going through trials, like I said, is the isolation that comes, the loneliness. As children of God, we are to live for others. Verse 4, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind, to endure with others. How long should I bear the burdens of others, Pastor? Well, I guess when you get to heaven, you don't have to do it anymore. Okay? Nobody in heaven has burdens. But as long as you're here, God has placed you in some people's lives. Pray that God would help you to be sensitive. Pray that God would help you to bear the burdens of people around you. Now, like I said, take care of your own faith first, but then let God use you. I was praying about the message tonight and just some conversations. It's already been confirmed. And let's have a word of prayer as we close. I'm not sure how that the Lord might use you, how this message might be an encouragement. But friend, God has put us here for a reason, to bear the burdens of others. People around us need prayer. They need direction. They need the truth. They need Christians whose faith is strong, who know what the truth is, who spend time in the Word of God, who have a close walk with the Lord, who are loving, who have hope for tomorrow themselves. Would to God that we would be that way. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us. Help us, dear Lord, to be sensitive to the needs of others around us. Dear Lord, we would minister to them in love. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed?